Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Absolutely love having you. We're gonna chat some breaking news with you, actually, because the Premier League has just agreed to implement semi-automated offside technology next season. Yeah. And just very curious to get your thoughts on this and what this means.
Right, first of all, let me just read you exactly what the system means. And it says it's no need to draw or activate lines. Instead, a virtual line is generated automatically. It accurately identifies skeletal data points, including head, toes, upper arm, and knees on multiple players simultaneously. Hmm. Ball tracking highlights where the ball is when kicked, which is communicated to the VAR official via a real-time alert system. Now, if you think that's going to solve everything, then I'm not remotely
spot on
convinced. Yeah. Look, there's no way it's going to end all arguments. I think it's better. They use it in the Champions League, of course. And they use it in international football. We saw it at the World Cup last time around in Qatar. But it's not infallible. I think I'm right in saying it was Canada. It's either Canada, Belgium, or it might have been Australia. Basically, I'm pretty sure it was the Belgium game. A goal was chalked off for offside, and what they hadn't checked was it was actually a defender who played the ball back. So it wasn't remotely offside, it was a back pass. So it still is no guarantee whatsoever. To be fair, personally, of the technology, I think goal line technology is 100% correct. And, you know, because it's a factual thing. With the offside, if you can do something, that's the only other part of it I'm in favour of keeping VAR. Because everything else is an opinion. This is a move towards trying to clarify something that is factual. You know, this is a physical thing on the pitch, but it won't completely take away the arguments. But it will improve it, so I'm in favour of it.
Jeff, I think you're spot on in your analysis. They had it at the World Cup, they had it at Champions League. But when people read semi-automatic offside, they think it's something about speeding up. Decisions are speeding up offside, like, okay, off, all right, we're ready to go. We've seen in Champions League, we've seen at the World Cup, that it takes a while for it to happen, but I guess it's more reliable than drawing the vectors, because afterwards, like a minute, two, maybe even at some points, 3-4 minutes afterwards, we see the animated graphic on broadcast where it's the gray screen that it marks the offside line, and then the body part in red. I mean, it happened, like, I can give you another example at the World Cup, Jeff. Lautaro Martinez against Saudi Arabia had scored a goal for Argentina. And not that it wasn't offside, because it was, but the accuracy of this, like, it was his shoulder, but, like, man.
How
you had to zoom in there to
Nico,
see
how
that.
How accurate was the CONCACAF Nations League with Panama and Mexico? That line that was drawn that crooked.
But guys, when you say
when you
say it's only a fraction of a body part, it's like you can't be a little bit dead. You're either dead or you're not. So, you know, if you're offside, offside.
You're offside. Yeah, absolutely.
Is that I personally, I prefer almost a whole body or daylight between them. Is too much because it's what distance.
Jeff, the rule says that a player is gaining an advantage. If he is offside in his position, gains an advantage, that's the ruling. How the hell are you gaining an advantage if the tip of your shoulder is offside in relation to the whole play? So I just think the wording of everything makes it
score,
even more.
Well, you can score with your shoulder, don't forget. And also, if that means you've started your run, so you're leaning forwards, you are gaining an advantage. So I get that. I don't overly have a problem with that. And in general, I welcome this. And I think this is the lesser face of evil that VAR is for me. On all other stuff, I would just junk it, get rid, now, whoa, go away, forget about it. It doesn't add anything to the game. And even with this, we're still shortchanging the fans. If it's in a stadium that doesn't have a screen, and I still find it incredible that both Manchester United and Liverpool do not have screens in their stadiums. If the fans who have paid hard-earned money to be there and they can't see what is happening, it's wrong, completely wrong, shortchanging them. So anything that makes it quicker, and I still, as soon as I have the information, it's got to go bang up on that screen, in the stadium for the fans to see as well, I'm all in favor of.
Yeah, when I was at Old Trafford, the two things that shocked me the most, one, there's no screen, and two, the clock counts backwards. It counts down from 90. I was like, what is going on? They made fun of us in MLS when we did that. Yeah.
What do you mean you were shocked? Hang on, whoa. When a game starts, Alexis, you're looking at how long is left.
No, I just looked up at one point and I said, it's like 75. And I was like, wait, the match just started 20 minutes ago. It counts down from 90 at Old Trafford.
Do you have a butter churn and an outhouse?
I mean, no, but I'll take some butter if anyone's churning any butter. I'll do that. What I was going to ask you, Jeff, is about the title race. Some things have shifted around. I think we're all expecting it to continue to shift. And, things may not end up the way exactly they are now. Hopefully they do. What are your thoughts on the title race? Who do you have as sneaking it through?
I think, we can do a deep dive on this tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I think we may need semi-automated decision-making to get to a conclusion tomorrow. But my overarching thoughts are, if you look at them, and I've had a look at this today, if you take the league positions of the remaining seven games of the opposition, i.e., so if you tally them up, their positions... So the one with the highest is obviously playing the lowest placed league teams. If you add them all up, so Arsenal, who are playing teams fifth, fourth, sixth, their total points is 59 that they're playing against, total league position. Liverpool have it slightly easier with 68. Manchester City have 80. So they by far and away have the, if you can call it that, easier run. But there's two big factors that you've got to look at when we look at this is the pinch points. And have a think about this before we talk again tomorrow. I think there are pinch points for definitely Arsenal and Liverpool. Arsenal around not fixture congestion, but level of fixture and also in relation to their Champions League games. Liverpool have a run of games. They've got four away games, including Europa League. That's tough. That's a tough stretch. Manchester City, they look to me as though, I don't like using the word easiest run in, But I've gone right through it, and for me, I'm pretty confident I know where this will end up and the order.
Okay. Well, we're gonna do as you said a deep dive tomorrow. We're gonna go through.
Now I have can we do something different for tomorrow? Because I have seen.
Yeah, talk to our producer Jen Calhoun. Absolutely,
well,
Jeff.
I have seen though when you you do your parlay, you guys, how spectacularly hopeless you are.
That
so
is
if
true.
This is an opportunity, if this is an opportunity for us to have a 5-way bet tomorrow. And we'll see who comes out on top.
Okay.
I look forward to taking
on. I like that.
I'm down.
I hate that.
Sounds like Caleb Porter over here.
Oh, jeez.
No, I listen, I'll do it. If Jeff wants to do it, I'm in.
Yeah. Same.
Say no more. Aw, Jeff Shreve.
Okay, hey, the cash goes down tomorrow, folks.
Quickly, though, Liverpool are going to be getting some of their big guys back. Sounds like Trent is back, Jota back in training. Alisson, does that move the needle for you at all? I'm just looking for a bone.
No, because it depends how long the players have been out. To be honest with you, Susanna, in Liverpool's case, I don't think players out is necessarily a problem for them because the players that have come in have done so well. You, whoever Liverpool put out, you don't regard it as a weakness. You think of the draw they picked up at the weekend. Okay, Kwanzaa made an error, which can happen to a young player. But in general, they've just not let them down at all. So I think it strengthens them, but I wouldn't regard them as remotely under par right now because of the players they've been missing. I mean, look at the goalkeeper. Keller has done amazing.
He has
absolutely saved them in games.
He has. Klopp said that he's been their most important player during the stretch.
Well, that's a big call when he takes him out of the lineup.
No, it's very true. It's a good point. It will be interesting
Pep
to see.
Kept Ortega in when Ederson was fit.
We'll see.
That wasn't the answer we were looking for.
No. No. Whatever.
Like, oh, okay.
They're gonna take care of business against Atalanta today.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.